Parshas Vayera, the Torah opens up with the story of Avraham Avinu and the Malachim. Rashi tells Avraham Avinu was distraught over the fact that that there was no Orchim. He was very depressed that there was no one for him to do the mitzvah of Achnas Orchim with, so Hashem sends him three Malachim. So many people ask the Kasha, Moshe Feinstein, I think one of them asks, what was he upset about? The mitzvah of Achnas Orchim is if there's someone who needs help, someone who needs assistance, then you help him. If there's no Orchim, then there's no mitzvah. What's there to be upset about? It's like saying, I'm upset today, I can't shake lulav. What's there to be upset about? There's no mitzvah. The mitzvah is when there is a mitzvah and people need you, then you help them. If there's no people, they don't need you, so there is no mitzvah to help them. What is Avraham Avinu so upset about? So the answer that Moshe Feinstein gives is that Avraham Avinu wasn't looking for mitzvahs as per se, as per, you know, requirements, checks, and reward. Avraham Avinu lived chesed. That was his entity. That was his life. It was all about doing chesed. So to him, he didn't want to hear, he's potter. He didn't want to hear, okay, I don't have to do it, I'm potter, I can go home, I can relax, I'm off duty. He didn't want to hear that. He lived, this was his life, was helping others. So to him, the fact that there was no one to help bothered him. It wasn't a pshat, like the way we look at mitzvahs is we have to do things, so we do it, we make it on a checklist, and we can move on. To Avraham Avinu, it wasn't, I have to do this, it was, I want to do this. He was what we call an ish chesed. Rabban Kotler has a piece of Mishnah Rabban where he uses this to contrast Loit. Loit is a very interesting fellow. You read the psukim, the Torah that discuss Loit, very confusing person. On one hand, he seemed to have been a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, seemed to have followed a little bit of Avinu's life, his ideology. We find that he was willing to be Moshe Nefesh for the mitzvah of Achnas Sarchem. Yet we find, on the other hand, he moves to Stoim, a place which is anti-chesed. And then Rashi tells us, at the end of the parasha, Rashi says, why did Loit merit getting saved? Not because of the chesed that he did and the Mesiras Nefesh that he did. Why did he get it? Because when they went down to Mitzrayim and they made up the whole story, a brother and sister story, Loit didn't rat them out. That was the godless of Loit. So Baron Cutler has a piece of Mishnah Sabbarim where he says, I don't understand. That's the big schuss for Loit, because he didn't ruin their story of brother and sister in Mitzrayim. I would have said the reason why Loit was great was the Mesiras Nefesh on last week's parasha. So Baron Cutler has two pshatim. We're going to go with his second pshat. His second pshat is, he writes, that the pshat was Loit was not an ish chesed. He didn't live chesed. That wasn't who he was. He did it. Avraham Avinu told him, this is what you do. X, Y, Z, go do. So he did it. He did it out of, you know, this was the commandment. He didn't live it. Avraham Avinu on the contrary lived chesed. That was his whole life. That was his being. Loit did it because Avraham Avinu told him, this is what we do, so he did it. Says the Baron, how do you know? Says, I'll be the greatest proof. Look where Loit moved to. If Loit was such an ish chesed, someone who loved chesed with his entire being, why would he move to a city that their policy was their anti-chesed? That was one of their greatest things, was we don't do chesed. So why would you move there? If this is who you are, and this is what you want to do, and this is where you want to raise your children, why would you move to a community that's exactly the opposite of your ideology? The Teretz is, you're not an ish chesed. You may do it, you may even be Moshe Nefesh to do it, but it's not who you are, it's not your being. Therefore, right, so Baron, that's why Loit didn't have that schus for him. But what did he have a schus for? The fact that when they went down to Mitzrayim, and he could have ruined their entire story, and the Mepharshim pointed out, he would have gained a lot by ruining their story. He would have yarshed a lot of money. If he would have told them, no, this is not true, he would have stand to gain a lot of money. He had a lot to gain by ruining their story. Yet he didn't. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to reward him for. But the chesed that he did, which seemed to be Mesiras Nefesh, as far as we're concerned, that he didn't get credit for, because he wasn't an ish chesed. He didn't live chesed. I had the opportunity this Shabbos, I was on way on a Shabbaton. I was a guest speaker in a tag Shabbaton for them, one of the high school grades. And one of the themes I was speaking about was Shalom. The idea of bringing Shalom, working on Shalom. And a contrast to that, to the Mishnah that we say every day in Eilu Dvarim, we contrast Gemilas Chasadim, and later on the Mishnah talks about Vahava Shalom. So I pointed out that those two things would seem to be the same thing. If someone's Goyimel Chesed, so that would create Hava Shalom, it would create Shalom in the world. So what's the two separate things, chesed and aval shalom? So I said that not every time a person does chesed is he bringing shalom to the world. And sometimes people can bring shalom to the world without doing chesed. I mentioned to them that the idea of being chesed goes beyond your comfort zone. It's not just I do chesed when it works out for me, when it's convenient for me. Or I only help people that are similar to me, look like me, dress like me, act like me, follow my ideology. The point of doing chesed is you have to be an ish chesed. You have to live chesed. It has to be who you are. I told them over a story from the Satmar Rebbe. A famous story with the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe, whatever his views on Israel was, it wasn't necessarily in line with many of the people who lived in Israel in those years. There was one famous Israeli non-religious writer who wrote many articles in Israel bashing the Satmar Rebbe as a person. He's a horrible person, he's a terrible person, and all negative things about the Satmar Rebbe. lo and behold, this Israeli writer found out that his wife is quite sick and she needed to come to America for treatments. He didn't know who to go to, who to talk to, so he had a religious relative who told him, go to Rabbi Teitelbaum. Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, you go talk to him. He'll take care of you. The guy said, me go to him? Are you crazy? I spend all day long writing articles how bad he is. I'm not going to go to him. He's going to beat me up. Okay, so he said, I'm not going. But after a while, he had no choice. His wife was getting sicker and worse, and she needed treatment. So he said, okay, I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to go down. I'm going to go see this Rabbi Teitelbaum in Williamsburg. So he travels down to Rabbi Yoel, and he goes down to the Samtan Rebbe. And he tells the Samtan Rebbe who he is. And the Samtan Rebbe says, okay, I'll help you whatever you want, but I have one condition. The condition is before you go back to Israel, you got to come see me. I said, okay, I have no choice. He's the one with the power. He's got all the medical connections. He's got the money. I'll do whatever he says. But he figured in his mind, that's when he's going to get me. When I'm on my way back and I want to go back to Israel, that's when he's going to hammer me and slam me for being such a terrible, horrible person. So he comes back after months of his wife staying in America. Baruch Hashem, she got better. So he comes back to the Rebbe. Now he's waiting to get it over the head. Some Rebbe sits him down, says, okay, everything work out here in America? Yeah, good, good. You ready to go back to Israel? Yeah, terrific. So opens up a drawer, takes out an envelope with a wad of cash, puts it on the table, says, here, batzlacha, go back to Israel. So the man says, Rabbi, what's with all the money for? He said, well, I could imagine when you were in America, you weren't able to work. So you must have lost a lot of money while you weren't working. Here's to compensate. And he sent them on his way. Now, the Satmar Rebbe and this fellow did not share ideologies whatsoever. They did not see eye to eye on a lot of things. The Satmar Rebbe probably wouldn't have taken him for a son-in-law. Right? A lot of things they didn't see eye to eye on. But as far as the Satmar Rebbe is concerned, this person needed help. It didn't matter who he signed up for, what he believed, ideology, hashkafic. That's what it means to be nishchas. You put everything else aside. It doesn't matter. You're not looking at, you know, who he follows and, you know, how he davens and what he learns. It doesn't matter. When another yid needs help, that's the way, that was it means, that's Avraham Avinu. That's a nishchas. Any of us, we only do chesed with the people that we like. A guy once called me up about a shidduch with someone. And he told me the following line. He's nice to the people that he likes. I said, oh, wow, that's a madriga. Happy to hear that. He's nice to the people that he likes. Okay, that's something. And that's the ideology we have. Yeah, those that are in our circle, we're nice to. Those that are not in our circle, we don't. But that's the contrast between Avraham Avinu and Light. Avraham Avinu was an ish chesed. He lived chesed. It was in his DNA. It was in his blood. Yeah, that's who he was. No matter who you were, what you look like, who you followed, what you learned, it didn't matter to Avraham Avinu. It's interesting. I had a personal story from my Rebbe, Reb Kalman Epstein, a few weeks ago, that the way it works in Yeshiva B'Es, there was an apartment where his father, Zalig Epstein, used to live when he used to come to Queens. He lived in Flatbush, but when he would come to Queens, he'd stay in the Yeshiva's apartment. So after he was nifter, there was a fellow from Yid, is actually a ger, who needed an apartment to live in. So my Rebbe gave him the apartment to use. A few years later, this fellow decided he now owns it. And he took them to court. And they're fighting in court now over who owns the apartment. Okay, so you would have thought that could create a lot of animosity. One of their court cases on the way home, my Rebbe drove him home from court. The fellow who's suing him for millions of dollars, he drove him home. Drove him home from court. Drove him home. I would have told the guy to get lost. So someone asked my Rebbe, he said, Nu, would you ever do this again? He said, in a heartbeat, I'd give it to the guy again. That's chesed. I'm not at that madriga, but that's what it means to do chesed. When you don't look at all the other things, you just look at one thing. A yid needs help. He needs help, we help him. It doesn't matter what he does, who he does, what. That's the difference between Avraham Avinu and Avraham Avinu lived chesed. It didn't matter who you were, how you looked. Light was that. Yeah, it depends, this, that, and the other. He was different than Avraham Avinu. That was why Light's only schus was what happened in Mitzrayim and not what the chesed that he did. They're still fighting in court.
Still. I want to know if the writer for the newspaper wrote a nice article.
I don't know. It doesn't say. There's no follow-up to the story.
Only if the story is going to have a nice ending.
To a fellow Jew?
Only to a fellow Jew. How about
anybody? Yeah, the Gemara tells us. There's also types of chesed because of Shalom, of Daki Olam. There's also a type of chesed you can do for Goyim. That's also true. That's a secondary level of chesed. The initial level of chesed is for Jews. The second level we have is because Goyim get upset. They get insulted. What do you mean? We don't count. Right. Pashtus, the chesed that we do is really for B'nai Yisrael, but a person should also help Goyim as well. It's a big Kiddush Hashem. The more we can do to make a Kiddush Hashem, the better off we're going to be. Okay. We left off over here in the Gemara.
I just want to know, when the guy was leaving the space,
yeah,
did he declare the money that he was...
He's got to talk to his accountant about it. That's what we say in Yiddish, a kasha of a maisa. Okay. We left off in the Gemara over here.
If it was less than $10,000, then
yeah.
Too much money for years of lost work.
That's true.
But if it's over, then...
Okay. We left off in the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about, back to the story about this Gemara is trying to figure out how we get this get to belong to the Isha without the Isha actually making a physical Maisa Kinyan on it. So the Gemara said she should go make a Maisa Kinyan on the Karka. By owning the Karka, she owns the get. Very, very bekitza. We mentioned last time on Machlokes Rashi and everyone else about how she acquired the get. Rashi learned that she acquired the get through Kinyan Agav. She owns the piece of property, and Agav she gets the Mefalten. Rashi and all the other Rishonim hold it worked through Kinyan Chatzon. So what we left off last week was trying to figure out why did Rashi veer off from the standard pshat? What made Rashi learn the Gemara differently than everyone else? Everyone else learned the Gemara, it's Chatzar. Rashi had to learn the Gemara, it's Agav. What made Rashi learn the Gemara that's Kinyan Agav instead of Kinyan Chatzar? So we mentioned not only is that the problem, the bigger problem is the Pashas Kinyan Agav is only the Rabbanon. So why would Rashi pick a Kinyan Rabbanon over a Kinyan Deraisa? So the truth is the Tzoyis brings a Raya from Rashi by us and Gittin, the Rashi Shita is that Agav is the Deraisa. That's why Rashi learned Kinyan Agav. So that might have been Rashi's cheshbon. Rashi was trying to make a statement to prove to the world that Kinyan Agav is taka Kinyan Deraisa and not a Kinyan Rabbanon, and that's why Rashi learned Agav and Agamar. The problem is it's hard to know. We'll talk more about this hopefully at the end of today's shir, if not next week's shir, Bli Nether, about how do we know, how is it Deraisa? It's learned from a pasuk in Navi. It's very hard to make it a Deraisa. But in any case, the kash and Rashi is why is it that Rashi holds that it's Agav not Chot. So the Pnei Yeshua suggested a pshat, which it's funny that many Achrenim blibed this pshat. The Beis Meir learns like this, and others learn that Rashi held like the famous Shittas Hashach. The Shach held that in order for Kinyan Chatzah to work, you have to own the Chatzah first, and then something falls into the Chatzah. If it goes the other way around, if for example the object is already in the Chatzah, and then you get the Chatzah, what we call like a fully furnished home, in that scenario you don't have Kinyan Chatzah. So Zok the Pnei Yeshua, that's pshat and Rashi. Since the get was sitting in the Chatzah already yesterday, and now he wants to be Machner the Chatzah today, the get's already there, you can't use Kinyan Chatzah. However, the Pnei Yeshua points out that that can't be Pshat and Rashi, because there's a Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph that the Gemara talks about a case of Katzav lo get v'nasno b'chatzeret. Person writes a get, he puts it in his own backyard. He leaves it in his backyard, and then a day later, v'katzav lo shtar matan olav. Then a day later, he decides, you know what? I'm going to gift the field to my wife. So he gifts the field to his wife, gives it as a matana. Now she gets the field, and she gets whatever on the field. So the Gemara says over there. Right, right. But the problem is, says the Pnei Yeshua, in such a scenario, how is she kind of the get? So Rashi himself says over there that the way she's kind of the get is through Kinyan Chatzah. Now, other Rishonim learn other Pshatim in the Gemara. But Rashi himself in Daf Chaf Aleph learns that in such a scenario, the way the get became her was through Kinyan Chatzah. So asks the Pnei Yeshua, that can't work. Because what happened? The get was in the chatzah yesterday. The next day, he gives her the entire chatzah with the get in it. The get was in the chatzah before the chatzah became hers. If Rashi held like the Shittas Hashach, the chatzah wouldn't work. That's the kasha that the Pnei Yeshua has on Rashi. And for this reason, he rejects that pshat in Rashi. What's interesting to me is that there are achren who leave this pshat in Rashi. The Beis Meir and others, they say that's taka pshat in Rashi. Shittas Rashi in our sugya would be a riot to the shach. So when everyone goes around saying it's the shach's shita that a get, that an object that's in a chatzah before the chatzah becomes yours doesn't have kinyan chatzah, it's not really the shach. It's possibly Rashi over here in getting that vayin zayin. Reb Shmuel Rozovsky has a bunch of pieces on this sugi that we photocopied. And one of those pieces, Reb Shmuel Rozovsky comes up with a very interesting nafkamina, or really a chiluk, between the Gemara and Daf Chaf Aleph and the Gemara by us. What happened in the Gemara by us? How do we get the get to belong to the Isha? She goes out and does a maisa kinyan chazaka. She goes over to the door, she closes the door. By closing the door, she owns the chatzar. And by owning the chatzar, she likewise gets the metaltel. What happened in the Gemara over the end of Chaf Aleph, says Reb Shmuel? In the Gemara of Chaf Aleph, he gave her a piece of paper. He gave her a shtar, and that shtar made it hers. So what's the difference? Reb Shmuel Rozovsky writes like this in number 3. He says, Mishum the Sphere laid the whole Darmina be Gemara Chaf Aleph, the Bahachi Mikri Nesina, Hainu Dafka Kishahikna Lahachotze Bekinya Shtar. Shmuel Rozovsky learns the difference in the two Gemaras are that Rashi really holds that you need to have some form of a Nesina from the Baal to the Isha. Even Rashi, that talks about. Even Rashi, that talks about... There's two sheets today, I apologize. And because I couldn't figure out how to do it back-to-back, we have them, just two separate ones. So according to Sez Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, Rashi holds the following. When a husband gives his wife a shtar, and through that shtar she acquires the field, that's as if the husband made a mice in the sina on the get. He gave her the get. He didn't give her the get. He didn't touch the get. But since he gave over the paper, and that paper is what created her owning the get, for according to Rashi, that's sufficient to be called a maisa nesina. Therefore, that is if the husband gave her the shtar, and that's okay to be used for chatzah.
Even though the get is there before. Everything on the chatzah you automatically own, or could you give the chatzah and you don't necessarily own what's on the chatzah?
You could do both. In this case, the husband said, I want to give you both. He could have. He has such an option to say, "Well, I'm giving you the chatzar, but I'm holding back, you know, certain things."
How is the shtar matana shayach to the nesina of the get?
This is part of a massive chiddush we're going to see in the Gedolei Achronim in this whole sugya. That even according to Rashi, that it's all about kinyanim, there still needs to be a nesina mitzad habal the isha. There has to be some element that the husband was involved.
How does that relate to?
Because
the get?
That's what enabled her to be kinyan of the get. That's what
at the
made
end of the day, the get is being coined through chutzah.
Right, but what got us to the point where she now owns the get was through a mice and a sinah, meaning not so much a mice and a sinah, but the husband's involvement. Kenyan chazaka is really the wife's doing it. The husband's sitting back and watching. So there lacks an element of the husband's involvement in creating the chalos.
Well, the husband's not protesting.
Well, yeah, of course. But again, he's still passive. The husband's not an active participant in creating this chalos. That's the big chiddush that we're going to get to.
He was an active participant in creating
it. What? He's an active participant in allowing or wanting the chalois.
I mean, it means in writing the get to begin with, right?
No. We need him to be an active participant in creating the chalois and how the get became hers. So the fact that she goes around and starts opening and closing doors, that's very nice that she's doing a lot. Which we'll even see, there is even a discussion that might even be tligidech me'agabe karka. That might be as bad as the case where a guy takes the get and throws it and tells his wife, go take the get. She walks over and picks up the get. So halacha is, it's ain't a mugareshes. You can't do that. You need to have an asina from the husband to the wife. Which is even, we'll see in a second, Reb Shimon has this big kasha in Rashi. According to Rashi, that kinyanim work, so why doesn't tligite work? Bishlam, if you understand the way gerushin works, it's all about handing over and giving. So then you understand why tligite doesn't work. But Rashi doesn't have that in his world. Rashi's world is about owning. So who cares how she owns it? I throw the get, and I frisbee it in the middle of the field. She goes over and picks it up. That should be a good get. Halacha is, it's not a good get. So we'll have to try to understand that.
But does anyone have a problem with, let's say, when you use a shliach, even though shluchot shalom kamoso, but the fact you didn't v'nasan biyado, the Torah B'davka says you put it in.
Which type of a shliach? Shliach halach or shliach l'kabal?
Both. Let's say there's two shluchim. You gave and she gave.
Right. That's why the Gemara has psukim about shliach is shliach and these types of things. The answer is, yeah, if you hold shluch shalom kamoso is real, so then it goes both ends. It's as if I gave it and as if she received it. That's the chiddush of shlichus.
It's still, it's not a chesaron of nosim.
No, because this is the new biyade, so to say, or this is a good enough of biyade. So Reb Shmuel understands. Yeah.
He says it has to be owning. She's not owning anything.
Why not? She picks up the get, now she owns it.
No, because he's doing it through an asina over there. He doesn't want to do it through ownership. Through
again, he throws the get, right? He throws the get. He throws it in the middle of the street.
She goes.
That's a nesina? Because he throws it in the middle of the street?
That's his nesina, here. This is for you.
No, that's if he puts it in her hand. I hear a nesina. He throws it in the middle of the street and tells her...
That's why it's not good. Because it's not a nesina.
But according to Rashi, you don't need a nesina.
No, but Rashi, you don't need a nesina unless the guy wants to do it through a nesina. If a guy gives it to her in a normal way, how does it work according to Rashi?
You want to go back to...
No, through a nesina.
Let's assume, meaning we're taking Reb Chaim's pshat, we're assuming it's either or. You have there's only one way, is it two ways? One way, I'm not sure. But let's assume like Rashi, that the way you make gerish is by acquiring a get. So if I throw the get in the middle of the shesarabim, she walks over and picks it up and makes a nice hagba on it, so now she owns the get. So why is that no good?
According to Rashi, there's a normal case where a man gives his wife the get, right into her hands. You can tell me that Rashi learns that that's not nesina, that's through acquiring it?
Pashup shat? I would have told
him.
I would say the nesina is not. I would have said.
Irrelevant.
Right. According to Rashi, declares that the way gerushin is done is not through the giving, it's about the acquiring. Rather, normally, the only way to acquire something is if someone gives it to you. That's what Rashi would have told you. But if you have a novel case like Kenyan Agav, where you can circumvent the nesina and end up with the Kenyan, Pashup shat and Rashi, that would be good enough. Because Rashi's Hakpada Satayra is not about how you get it, it's about ownership. That's the Pashup Shana Rashi. We'll see today, not like that.
So then why would Rashi have a problem?
Chaim, that said, there could be
Chaim said that Rashi holds there's two ways to make Gerushin. Either through the regular way of Nesina.
So according to that.
Right, but it would still be a Kasha to Rashi. What happens in the case where you're not using Nesina? In the case where you're using the other method, you're using the Kenyan method. According to Rashi, if you have an option of using just the Kenyan method, so why should there ever be a problem with Tlegiteh?
You can make a Kenyan on Hefker, right? Nobody gave it to you, you just found it.
Right. So I would have thought Shana Rashi. Well, we'll see today, not like that. We'll see where Byron has a piece today where he rejects this. But I would have thought that Shana Rashi is that we don't care how the get gets to her. It's irrelevant. All we need her is to own the get. That's all we care about. Ownership. How she owns it's not my business. However she gets to it.
Maybe if she stole it, let's say.
In theory, I would have thought
she stole it.
again, putting aside that kinyanik neva, but the point is not so much the husband has to give it over. She has to get it.
So what do they do with the pasuk v'nasan
biyoda? So that was a baron's problem. A baron felt that you have to read v'nasan biyoda.
Which are barons? There's a lot of barons.
A baron has a piece over here we'll get to hopefully in a few minutes where he wants to say that even according to Rashi, you have to work the sinah into the equation. You can't deny the fact that there's a hakpadas ha-toira and how it becomes hers. It's not just, oh, it becomes hers and we're happy. It is a way it becomes hers as well, because it says Vanasa. I would have thought Vanasa Biyada just means the normal way of making it hers, is giving it to her. That's just the normal way of doing it. How else do you want to, you know, Kinyan Agav is not always such an option. But okay, we'll hopefully get to that in a second. So Rashi Shita, it's hard to know why Rashi veered off, so to say, from the standard pshat of learning Chatzar and picked Kinyan Agav. The Baron, in a couple of places, one place in the Sefer Eish Tamid, one place is in Mishnah's Rebaran. Rebaran Kotler has a piece over here where he learns Rashi very differently than we've been talking about Rashi up till now. Rebaran suggests over here, I apologize, there's a somewhat of an arrow that's supposed to show you where to look. It's supposed to be on the right side. It starts with Vahanir Eliyashiv. This is what happens when you start doing this at 12 o'clock after coming back from the mountains last night. But okay, Baruch Hashem, it's here. So Rebaran writes like this, Vahanir Eliyashiv. Rebaran thinks that Rashi is not the way we understood it, because Rashi really holds a combination factor of Nesina and Kinyan. He's come to answer up the kash that all the Rishonim had on Rashi, was why do you need the Metaltalin to be piled up on the Karka? If Rashi's working with Kinyan Agav, so Kinyan Agav, you don't need it to be on top of the Metaltalin, on the Karka. So why was Rava so careful to say, be kind of the place where the get is, be kind of any property? This is the kash that Rishonim had, we spoke about last week. So Rabbaran says like this, V'nir liyashiv, the Rashi sovar k'mashi k'safti b'dasa Rambam. Because Rashi sheet is like the Rambam sheet. The V'nosan hu Inyan, Bidin bifneyatzmi. So to Baron, because there's two components of making every divorce. Not like Reb Chaim said, there's two ways to do it. So to Baron, differently. Every time you make a get, there has to be two components that are met. What are these? Says Reb Baron. Tahinu shebeget yesh halacha shetzorach sheyem meisin nesina mehaba. Rule number one is there always has to be an act of giving on the part of the husband to the lady. It can't be that she just ends up with it on her own. That's not sufficient. There has to be a meisin nesina from the baal. Umachma zeh. For this, it doesn't have to be in her hand. It just has to be that it was considered that it came from the husband. There's another din of biyada. Two parts of the pasuk, v'nosan and biyada. You have to make a ma'aseh nesina inside the husband, and you need it to be biyada in her hand or in her possession. Those are the, so to say, two different dinim in every divorce. Every time you make a get, says a baron, you have to have both these components met in order for a get to be good, because that's what it says in the Torah, v'nosan and biyodo. The fact that she owns it, or that you're machna to her, that's not sufficient to be biyodo. Because yes, she maybe owns it, but it's not in her possession. It's not in her control. She maybe technically owns it, but it's lacking biyodo. Says the Baron, El Dak Kinyan Moyel Rak Bishvil Adin De Nosan. When he's machne to her and she owns it, so that's sufficient to say that I gave it to you. But it's not sufficient to say that it's in your hand. Very interesting svar. Says the Baron, when I ensure that it's
just the opposite.
Yeah. He's understanding biyada is not in a halachic sense of ownership. It's biyada, it's mine. It's in my possession. So the fact that I technically own it, says the Baron, that's not enough to say it's biyada. It's enough to say you gave it to me, because you did.
That's not true.
Why not?
You could acquire something without someone giving it to you.
You could, but at the end of the day over here, my ownership was due towards your nesina, so that's why you gave it to me. So says Reb Aaron, El da kinyan moyo rak b'shol dinos. The Gabi zeh choshev ha kinyan nesina ma'alya. Ach mikol mokim, says Reb Aaron, be'inon mitzad hadin dinos and gam kein she'etzem ma'isa ha kinyan yas aydeh ha'bal. The act of kinyan has to come through the husband. And it's not enough that he just machne her the get. So says Reb Aaron, it's not enough that the husband is the reason why she owned it. The husband had to be the one to actually have made the kinyan that gave her the rights to own it. That's the problem with Kinyan Agav. The problem that the Achrayim point out with Kinyan Agav is she does the action. He sits back and tells her go. She goes and closes the door. So yes, now she owns it because he allowed her to do it, but that's not considered that the Maaseh Kinyan came about through him.
Just felt him in Nasa.
Right. It's lacking in the mile of how it became hers.
Isn't also lacking in Biyada? If it's in her chutzah, that's also her. But if it's Agav, it's not in her
actual
possession.
That's exactly. That's the point. That's where Baron's coming from.
It has nothing to do with the Kenyan, with the husband.
Correct. That's the second part of Rashi. The reason why Rashi needed that she owns the property as well, because it wouldn't be biyada. It's very nice that she owns it halachically, but Rabbi Aaron held to fulfill biyada, it's got to be in her possession. So even though she owns it halachically speaking, but it has to be biyada. That's why he needed to have tziburin. He needed to be piled up that she owns the property as well. So it's everything is in her possession. Says Rabbi Aaron, Yushev is bezeh kol hakushyos. Now everything makes sense. Why? He says, well, let's answer up another kasha. Why didn't Rashi use kinyan chatzar? Says Rabbi Aaron, why didn't Rashi use chutz like everyone else? Says Rabbi Aaron, beautiful. The kinyan chutz levad le mahani. Because if you're just going to use chutz, it's not going to work. Because if you're just going to use that, that would be a chesaron in the mice and the sena. Because it's like she's doing it. Yes, he's allowing her to be kind of it, but the way the kinyan came about was all her. He didn't do anything to the husband. He's almost dead, the husband. He's laying in his deathbed. She goes out and opens the door, closes the door. That Maisa Kenya that she does gives her the ownership of the property. So that's lacking in the Nesinim inside the husband.
But didn't he put the get there?
Yes, but we need her, the way she's going to own the get is going to be through her, the Kenya Chazaka. The Kenya Chazaka was done by her.
How does it ever work?
Oh, good.
So that's only a chesaron because the get was there beforehand. Had she had the chatzar and he put the get into her chatzar, then that would be a nesina. No,
that would be that would be right because then he did
because it was
there's no nesina over here.
The nesina came.
That's right, right. In a normal chatzar where the husband takes the get and throws it into her backyard, so that's beautiful. She did a nesina. It's brusha. Say everything is perfect, but over here we don't have that element because there was no nesina inside the baal, and the way she begot it was through her. Yeah, of course, the husband consented to it, but at the end of the day, the problem that the Achrenim have, and this is the problem that many of them, Reb Shmuel has the same problem, is that what made the get hers was her Maisa Kenyan. We need it to be that what made the get hers was coming from the husband. The fact that he consented to allow her to do the Kenyan is not enough. We need it to be that he's directly involved in getting the get from him to her, and he was not. All he did was sit back, and she went and did whatever she needed to do.
Indirect.
However, says Reb Aaron, what about the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph? The Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph, their chatzah does work. Why? Because there the husband was involved. Because he gave her a paper that made her own the chatzah. That's the husband's involvement of the Nasan. Even though he didn't give her necessarily the get, but the paper that he gave to her, which made her the owner of the chatzah, came from the husband.
The get was already in.
And the get was already there. So the husband did his job of the Nasan. So therefore, that's why Rashi has no problem learning chatzah over there. But in argument, Rashi says it can't be chatzah. That's the way Rav Aaron answers up the whole Rashi. So according to this, it comes out the fees of the Rashi is like a two dinim in get. There's always a v'nasan, and you always need a biyada. You need to have a mais and a sina mitzad the baal on his behalf, and then you need to have biyada on the isha's recipient side. She has to own it in her possession.
I thought we said that the get can't be there before. It's there already.
That's if you hold like the shach, but we're assuming not like the shach. We're assuming Rashi doesn't hold like that. Okay. Now, let's just deal with another problem in the sugya, which is, again, I'm trying to wrap up loose ends over here so we can move on. I'm trying. Reb Shmuel has a kasha, he quotes B'Shem his Rebbe, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon has the following kasha. At number 4b, Frek Reb Shimon, Rik Shagayin Reb Shimon Shkab B'Chidushav, L'Shitas Rashi, according to Rashi, asks Reb Shimon, D'ima Hani Kinyon Beget, Frek Reb Shimon the following kasha, which I mentioned earlier. If you hold like Rashi, not like a Baron's understanding of Rashi. Rashi, the way we learned Rashi. The Rashi sheet is that when you read the Torah, v'nosam b'yodah, the Torah doesn't care how she gets. The Torah cares about one thing. She owns it. The v'nosam b'yodah equals she must own the get, and that creates chaloyz gersh. So asks Reb Shimon, if so, why is there ever a problem called tligitech me'alga b'karka? Why is that a chasarn? Who cares how she ends up with it? Bishlam, according to everyone else except for Rashi. So the Torah is very careful about how the get gets from him to her. The Torah says, you need a mice and a sina, the nasa biyada. If I take the get and I throw it in the middle of the street, she walks over, picks it up. So yes, she ended up with the get, but I didn't give it to her. That's lacking a vinasa. But if you hold like Rashi, there's no thing called vinasan. We don't care how you get it to her, just that she needs to get it. So ask Reb Shimon if that's the case, why is tle gitech me'agar b'karka a problem according to Shitas Rashi? This is Reb Shimon's kasha. So Reb Shmuel writes over in Chiddush Reb Shmuel, he wants to answer up his Rebbe's kasha. He says like this. The Hikshagayin Reb Shimon, B'chidush of the Shitas Rashi, D'imahani Kinyon B'get, Amayloi Mahani Tlegidach Me'agar B'karka. The same way, according to Rashi, as long as she owns the get through any of the modes of kinyanim, even though the get never ends up in her rishus, says Reb Shimon, because how are you mekayem v'nasan? Not by actually giving it to her, but by making the kinyan. He's really bavarning the kash that a baron has. How do you read v'nasan and biyada? Says Reb Shimon, I'll tell you how you read v'nasan. V'nasan doesn't mean he gives it to her. V'nasan means he enables it to be transferred. V'nasan biyada means I enable it to be transferred to her hand. How? By giving a ma'aseh kinyan. By him being a participant in this ma'aseh kinyan. First of all, Reb Shimon, im kein, hu adim betligidich me'agab karka. Yesh kan akoponim haknom betzad habal. So every time you do a tligidich, what do? You throw the get in the middle of the rishus rabbin. And you tell her, go take the get and pick it up. So you're enabling her to pick up the get, to be kind of the get. You're creating the ability for her to own the get. So why is that not good enough, according to Rashi? You're the reason she can own the paper now. Because you're allowing her to be kind of it. So if you're allowing her to be kind of it, ask Reb Shimon, that's just sufficient. That should suffice to be a kinyan. So remove the fact that it's in her hand. She's like, nah, sal yada. Become makam her head, dying ikanasinim at sanaknas aget. Vamai edom agureshes. Very, very, very yisodistic akasha, Reb Shimon's asking. If you hold like Rashi, that you don't need an asina at all, so why is there ever a problem of tligita? That was Reb Shimon's kasha. So Reb Shmuel says, he thinks the Teretz is like this. He says, ube'emes hayev shir le Teretz. He says, I think we can be mechalik in kinyon. Why? The kinyon agav, the hoch hu the kinyon mitzar hamakne. Says Reb Shmuel like this, when you do kinyon agav, how does this work? How's kinyan agav really working? What happens? I have property and I have metatlin, and I tell you I want to give you property and I want to give you metatlin. You go make a kinyan on the karka. You'll get the metatlin as well. How is this working?
That's somewhere else.
How does this work? Through what tools are we using this? So Reb Shmuel suggests that the way it works is mitzad demakne. Me as the seller has a power to ensure that you get both. That's how kinyan agav works. It's not so much mitzad you, the action that you did. It's my hisratzus for you to have both. That gives you both. Even though, again, you only made a ma'aseh kinyan on one, you really shouldn't get the other. But somehow, the power of the makneh gives you the ability to do both. Which is a big shaila we need to talk about, hopefully at the end of today's year, if not next week's year. What would happen if there'd be no makneh? Let's say, for example, I want to be kinyan and a hefker. There's two pieces of hefker. One property and one metalflin. And I'm too lazy, or I can't get to the metalklin. So I say to myself, I'm going to make a ma'aseh kinyan on the property, but I have mine that I want to acquire the metalklin as well. Would that work? So the tzais has a whole discussion whether or not this works or not. Part of the discussion in the achrayim has to do with who's really, is the das makne an integral role in what enables kinyan agav to work?
Why don't we say that any action where it's out of the possession of the makne is an asina? Meaning, as long as he does anything, throws it in the middle of the street, it's already, that's a different...
So that is that sufficient to say that I gave it to you because I gave you...
As opposed to holding on to it. Anything that you're not holding on to is an asina.
Even though my asina wasn't directly to her.
Right.
I mean, you want to really split the pasuk into two. The nasa means you have to do something that's called an asina, and then biyada, she has to be kainit. Possibly. That might be the answer to the kash as well. That Rashi will tell you this is a sufficient nesina. The fact that I gave her access to it, so to say. Yeah, we need to talk more about tligitich. It comes up again in our sugya in a taisvis. Maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't get to it. But Belinad, we'll have to see if that's a possibility.
Does she have to know that she's picking up a get? Or
well, she always...
Pick that piece of paper
so up. That's the mission in the...
And then she goes, oh, yeah. Guess what, I'm divorced.
That's a famous mission on Daf Ayin Ches, which I still think we're getting to, Mr. Shem. There's a mission on Ayin Ches that talks about a case where, let's say, tells her, here's a bill. The Con Ed bill. She opens up the bill, it's a divorce. Right? So the halach is, so the Mishnah says it's no good. Like Mishnah talks about these types of cases. He tells her, Kinsi Shtar Chavzeh. Here, take this. So the halach is, it's no good.
So when someone is Kinyan Agav or Kinyan Chaser.
So she has to know. She has to know it's a get. Yeah. Now, Shaila is why?
Does he know? Yeah. Is he doing it?
No. He knows it's a get. He's trying to pull one over. Well, that's the problem. We need to talk about this. We actually talked about this, believe it or not, way back in Kiddushin. When we talked about the Amira for Kedushin, the Gemara makes a comment at the beginning of Kedushin, you also have to have an Amira for Gerushin. So many people ask, what do you mean, why do I need an Amira for Gerushin? I don't need to say anything. I could tell her here, take this, and you're divorced either way. Bish Lama, if it's something that I need her consent for, so then I have to word it a certain way. But if it's against her will, why does my words matter? right? Who cares what I say? So there's a big yisoy that you might not have to say anything, but if you say the wrong thing, that's migare. And we'll have to talk about that. Exactly, what's the problem? If you walk over to the lady, you say nothing to her, you keep your mouth shut the whole time, and you put the get in her hand, you're divorced midarais. But if... doesn't matter. It's about bakarcha. She's migareshes. That was... No, you made a nesina, you might not have a kinyan. So that was the Ktsais' whole big deal. In fact, the Ktsais, how does it work? So the Ktsais will tell you, that's my big riot, that you don't need a kin, you just need a nesina. I gave it to her. What she does with it afterwards is not...
But if she didn't take it, you didn't give it.
No. That nesina means I did my part of giving it to her.
Why is it not a kin if she's in her hand?
Because that's not to be kin. She's screaming bloody murder. I'm not being kin.
She doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, okay. I think let's say she realizes what's going on, right? So then she says, I'm not being kind. She's a lumnish girl. She knows about kinyanim. She screams, I'm not being kind. So we say to her, big deal, you're not being kind. Who cares? You're still divorced. Because we hold that you don't need to be kind of the get. Aye, what do you do with Rashi? So we'll go back to all the Torah we said over the last few weeks. They're just that the Amira...
You have to have Das to be Kona something.
Yeah.
You do the act of Kenya.
Yeah, 100%.
But by Yerusha, that wouldn't be.
I say Yerusha, that's exactly the Achrayim's point. The Achrayim want to answer for this Ktsois that maybe Nesina Saget is like Yerusha. The same way Yerusha works with Adam Isaac Kenyan. So maybe the get becomes hers with Adam Isaac Kenyan.
Without Das.
Without anything, right. That was the wording that the Achrayim used.
With anti-Das.
Right.
Without Das.
Right. That was the way they came. That was the way they combated the Ktsois. This taina of how can you own something without a kinyan? The answer is you don't make the kinyan, the Torah is makna it to you. You own it through the Torah. So they ask, where do you find such a principle? So they answer Yerusha. Yerusha is the example of the Torah where you own something without any dasa kinyan, without any maisa kinyan. It's just automatically yours. So same thing with the get. The Torah says the get becomes yours automatically. That's the way they answer up the Tzoyis' rayas about Bakarcha.
She still has to know that it is a get, whether or not she wants to accept it as. We don't care.
She might not have to know but she get. Has to know it's not a get. Meaning you can't tell her it's something else.
You can't fool her.
You can't fool her. You can't tell her it's a shtar chayiv. You can't tell her it's the newspaper. You can't tell her it's something else.
If she's not a bar das,
so that's a big kasha. That was one of the riots. So how do you ever divorce an ain't a bar das? So that was one of the riots that you see that's not about kinyonim. That was one of the big riots that Achrayim brought.
Well,
that
how? You just say that there's an automatic appointment
of the based in as an agent. It could be, but at least on the Raisa level, if you hold the Nasa Miyada means it's got to go to her, and she can never acquire. How does that work? So the Stipler has a piece where he wants to answer Das Acheres Machno Isay. That sometimes we have a chap that if you can acquire something, but I could give it to you, so my Das helps to fix the problem. Reb Chaim didn't like that pshat, but that was a machlokes Achrayim. The problem is gets not a schos. That's the problem. The Gemara comes out. The Gemara is al ganzer din. I think Gemara is a whole din back and forth. Is gets schos or not? The Gemara comes out that it's not. Even though one maybe in certain scenarios it might be. Right. From Adam, that's the easy way around. It's mizachal adam, right?
But.
Right, then you have the Gemara's kasha, which we still need to get to. It's on my to-do list over here. We have to still get to it.
Yerusha works
Balkar. Yeah, after that, you can decide to give it away. But once it's yours, it's yours. There's nothing you can do about it. It happens automatically. There's no Maisa Kenyan required for Yerusha. Yerusha is one of the things that are Avidi de Memel. It happens on its own. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be anywhere. The moment the Yerush is in the right position, he gets all the money.
Even if the Yerush is not a Bardas also?
By Katan, they have Apotropism for these things. They're Maimon Apotropism just to take care of things. What's the role of an Apotropism? Does he have real Kenyan? That's something we talked about in a previous year as well.
How can you learn Yerusha to anything else?
Avada, 100%. That's the
chiddush. That's
what the Ktsais will tell you. If the Ktsais heard this conversation, he'd say, what are you guys talking about? You're going to compare a get to a Yerusha? Because if you found the chiddush akra by Yerusha, that means that's the way a get works. I could tell you a million differences between Yerusha and a get, right?
Not only that,
the whole Yerusha is a whole different type of chalais. It's not like a regular chalais between two people. It's whatever it is. That's the machloek yisachrein, the Ktsais versus everyone else. So says Reb Shimon, let's go back to Reb Shmuel Stickle over here. So his point is over when you do kinyan agav, it's mitzad de machne. The hocha after al hachotzer nasa hakinyan mitzad isha aidei sheikh zika boy. Even though you needed her involvement to be kind it, like we saw from a baron that you needed her to close the door, says Reb Shmuel, I don't care. Mikomokim kinyan aget atzmei nasa mitzad habal. He totally disagrees. He views that when kinyan agav happens, the husband's doing it. That's the husband's involvement in kinyan agav. The husband's playing an integral role. By him starting the ball rolling and saying to her, be kind of this and that, even though she's the one who had to do the action, we look at it as if he was the one who did the ma'aseh nesina.
He's not emphasizing physical action, which
right.
We're
exactly.
Before.
Exactly. That's where him and Rav Aaron are disagreeing.
Legal action.
Right. They're looking at who are we misyaches this whole picture to? When we look at this entire story where this lady ended up with a piece of property and a piece of metallic, who is the one who did it? So Rav Aaron said, what do you mean? Who's the one who closed the door? Is the one who did it. Because her closing of the door made it hers. So the fact that she's the one who did the pu'ula, that becomes hers. Reb Shmuel says, no, we look at the husband, because the machna is the one that enables this whole shtick to work, is mitzad the machna.
Without his das, her opening closing doors.
100%. 100%. Now, what I think Reb Shmuel is really alluding to is the fact that he thinks not only is it his sratzus, is that the whole lumdis is based on his power, as the way Kinyanag of my work, as we'll see hopefully a little later. So therefore, says Reb Shmuel like this. Therefore, ubezeh shafim miskayim nesina biyada. So that's not a chasaron until he gitech. Our Gemara is not a problem that the husband's not involved. The husband's very much involved. The way the get became hers was because the husband gave his kinyan aga power to it. But says Reb Shmuel, but a regular tlegitech, where the husband, yes, the husband had to have thrown it into the street to get the ball rolling, but at the end of the day, the kinyan was completely up to her. She did everything from soup to nuts. Even though you'll say, what do you mean? The only way she was able to be kainit is by the husband allowing her to be kainit. Yes, that's true. You can't be kainit things that don't let you be kainit. But I guess he held that's not enough of an involvement in the Maisa Kinyan. But over here, you want to know why the Isha owns the get today by Kinyan Agav? It's because I gave it to her through my Kinyan Agav. So therefore, it's not a kasha until Yitech. Now, the reason why this piece is so important to us is because clearly Reb Shmuel Rozovsky's understanding that the way Kinyan Agav works is mitzad the machna. He's looking at the way Kinyan Agav works is because I decide to give you two things, and that is sratzus, to give you two things is what enables you to own two things.
And Chatzar would not work that way?
And Chatzar sounds like it's not working like that. Chatzar would be more my Maisa on the Kohen. Now this is going to be very important when we go forward in the Sugya.
Why?
Because let's go back to the case of Hefker. If the way Kinyan Agav is really working is mitzad the power of the one who's relinquishing his ownership, then it wouldn't work by Hefker. That's the big discussion. So if you go with Reb Shmuel's Shtikl Torah, it should come out according to him that you wouldn't be able to have Kinyan Agav Behefker, which in itself is a machlokes achrayim.
But why does it have to be a nafkamina about who's creating the Kinyan between Agav and Chatzar? In other words, by Agav you're saying the Machna is creating it,
right.
So it's a form of Nesina. It could also be that by Kinyan Chatzar, I'm giving you the Chatzar and whatever's on it, is also yours.
Right, so
we're done for a minute. Why does it have to be separated?
Right, because by him, he understands that there, what works is by each kinyan, you have to ask yourself, what makes this chalois work? So sometimes it's the action, the physical action of doing whatever maisa. If I sell you something and you pick it up, so obviously I couldn't have picked it up without you consenting. But at the end of the day, my picking it up is what makes it mine.
Right.
So if we looked at the whole scope of the picture, we'd say to ourselves, oh, this was done on my, I did it. But Kinyan Agav says, Reb Shmuel, you don't look at it like that. You don't look at the lady did it, even though
you
she closed
can't
the
look at it that.
Right, it can't because you'd have a problem. But again, we'll have to see in the larger discussion of Kinyan Agav, does it make so much sense the way Reb Shmuel is setting up the equation? Reb Shmuel is setting us up to believe that the way Kinyan Agav works is all about the machna. Because I decide to give you two things, that somehow makes it easier for you to own both things, which needs a lot of discussion, which hopefully we'll get to a little later.
So I just have one question.
Yeah.
Maybe it's silly, but if the husband throws the get to the wife, no, he doesn't throw it on the karka and say, go pick it up. He throws it to her. So if she catches it, that would be a maisa nesina.
Yeah.
And beyond
100%.
It's all perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a mishnah like that. Yeah, it's a mishnah like that.
What if she misses it? No, so she doesn't touch it. It falls. And then she goes and picks it up.
Right, so let's
she never really took it.
Right.
Now it's in the karka. Is it the same thing as
so
the
again,
karka?
So again, if it were to be in her backyard and this would happen.
No, it's not her backyard.
Yeah, that would be a problem. That would be a problem. Right, that would be a problem.
Like process service.
That would be a problem. That would be potentially.
She's not rejecting it. She just missed it.
That's tligitech. That might be.
Is that
right? It sounds like that would sound like. And we have to talk more about tligitech, but that would sound like a case of tligitech because again, I'm giving it to you to own, but I never gave it to you. I never placed it to you. You picked it up. So according to what we see now, which is very very simple understanding of tligitech, she's the one making the kinyan, which makes it hers. It's not coming beside you. Okay, let's just quickly wrap up a little bit with Rashi. With Rashi, some other pshatim, according to Rashi, some other pshatim in Rashi, why Rashi didn't learn Chatzar. Rav Nimeluma number 5 learns over a massive chiddush in Rashi, that Rashi holds based on the Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches, that we don't use Kinyan Chatzar anymore. We don't use Kinyan Chatzar. The Rashi sheet is you don't use kinyan chatzar, which again is shver. What do you do with daf chafalif?
But
okay.
By git.
We don't use kinyan chatzar based on the Gemara daf ayin ches. But the Gemara said because one of the things you have is dalar amos of a person, and dalar amos of a person is similar to chatzar. Now, every time you have dalar amos, you're never sure is it really in the dalar amos, is it not? So Chazal were nervous and afraid. They threw out the whole thing. Says Av Nulam, Rashi went a step further. Not only did they throw out dalar amos, they threw out chatzar also. Which is always a pella, because chutz is
there,
right?
That's
the Avnei Meluim Pshan Rashi. We'll call it a Chiddush Galtos to say the least. And the last Pshan Rashi, they bring down from the Divrei MS, he wants to tie in a pshat like this. Rashi learns that he never sold her the property. He lent her the property. Instead of giving her the property to own, the husband's not interested in giving her the property. He wants to get a divorce, but he's not interested in losing property over this. So what he did was, he lent it to her. He was mashal her the property. And it was mashal of the property. Now that she's a borrower, so very nice, she has the rights to it, but you can't use that for kinyan chatzar. You can't use kinyan chatzar on borrowed property.
Are you doing for agav?
So for agav, there's rights from the Gemara that yes, you could do.
What?
But for chatzar, you can't. So therefore, Rashi Shita is that it had to be agav, because if it's going to be chatzar, it's not going to work.
How could agav step up? You can say, I can lend you this, and I'll lend you that too.
But no. I'm lending, because you have a lender has right. Partial ownership. Whatever that means.
You mean a borrower?
A borrower has partial ownership. So he has enough ownership to be able to be kind of the metatl and agavit, but not enough to be kind of in the chatzar. Wow. But it gets a little bit more tricky. Wow. The reason why it gets tricky is because we had a sheet that's Rashi about Metzia, not like this. Rashi held that when you have a masker and a seicher, Rashi held it goes to the seicher. Rashi held, if let's say you're borrowing something, you're renting, you're a mashal, you're seicher, all these relationships, who gets kinyan chatzar? So Rashi sheet is it goes to the renter. Or the borrower.
But we're talking about agav then. That's not
no.
Chatzar, but we're talking about
agav. No, so what was the hope shot? The hope shot was Rashi couldn't have learned chatzar because Rashi held she wouldn't have been able to be kainer as chatzar because she didn't own it. She was only a borrower or a renter. Oh, yeah. But Rashi sheet is that when you have a borrower or a renter relationship, the renter and the borrower is the one who actually gets the rights to be kainer kinyan chatzar. So Rashi is shitase. What?
That's if you throw it in while she's the borrower.
No, you'll do it all on one package deal.
But I'm saying, she rented the property and throw it into that property.
And why the fact that it was there before? If you don't hold it that shach.
When you rented her the property, you rented the property, not everything that was on the property necessarily.
Yeah, but that might be part of being a renter, is you have rights or access to it. The reason why it's not a kash is because there's another sheet that's Baal Itter. The Baal Itter says that even if you have a borrower and a renter, or a borrower and a lender, they can't be kind of from each other. So this case, she's renting from him, and she wants to be kind of from him. That for sure doesn't work. So even though maybe if I'm a regular borrower and an aveda falls into the chatzar, I get it, but I can't be kind of from the person who owns it who's trying to give it to me. So that's why Rashi, we can be yasha for Rashi.
That's why he won't use chatzar.
That's why Rashi won't use chatzar. You can still use for agav. Okay. Now we talked enough about agav. Now let's learn a little bit about kinyan agav. This I just wanted to wrap up with Rashi so we can say we learned Rashi properly. Now let's take a little break and learn a little bit kinyan agav. Believe me, you'll see how this works its way back into the sugya. But I always wanted to learn kinyan agav. You know, it's found daf chavav in kedushin. No one in yeshiva ever learns daf chavav in kedushin. They learn chavtes, and they learn the first parak till daf yudalid, and then if you're lucky, you learn your dalid till your test. And they never learn chavav. It always bothered me. I always thought we should learn daf chavav. It's all the sugyas of kinyanim. So we talk about all day long. We never learn it. None of the yeshivas. I don't know any yeshiva that learns kinyanim. They don't learn daf.
They don't get to.
They don't do chavbeis. They don't do chavav. There's great sugyas there that. Okay, so we're going to do it here today. A little bit of it. The Mishnah says in kedushin daf chavav like this: Nechasim sheyesh lamachrayis. The chasim that have a chrayis on them, which is a name for karka, nikdim bekesef ubishtar bechazaka. The way a person acquires a piece of property is through either kesef, shtar, or chazaka. She'ein lamachrayis. This one says on top of the kinyan agav. B'she'ein lahem achrayis. If you have property that does not have a chrayis, which is another synonym for metatlin, a nikdim elo b'meshicha. Metatlin can only be acquired through meshicha. Putting aside the machlokes of Yechon and Mishlokes about mois kindness. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Nechasim she'ein lehem achrayis, those Nechasim that don't have achrayis, niknim, could be acquired im Nechasim she'esh lehem achrayis, along with karka, with kesef, shtar, and chazak. So this is the source of what we know today as kinyan agav. The Mishnah says that you can acquire metatlin along with karka, with kesef, shtar, and chazak. So the Birkas Avram points out the following ha'ari. He says, I don't understand. The Mishnah told me in the beginning that the way you're kind of karka is kesef shtar chazak. The way you're kind of metatlin is meshicha. Then the Mishnah told me a chiddush called kinyan agav, that if when I buy karka, I get the metatlin with it. Why did the Mishnah have to repeat the kinyanim that I use? I know already. Karka is bought with kesef shtar chazak. I get it, I understand it, move on. The chiddush of the end of the Mishnah wasn't how to acquire karka. It was that once you get karka, you get metatlin as well. But why did the Mishnah have to repeat to me how you kind of karka? I know already. Karka is kesef shtar chazak. Good, I know, I'm good to go. Now the Mishnah tells me, no, another chiddush. A new chiddush is that you can make a kinyan on A and get B as well. So of course, it's going to be whatever I use for kinyan A. That's the kash of the Berkas
Avraham. Well, maybe the other way. You use kesef,
you can use the kinyan Mashiach. Which is actually a big deal in the Rishonim, is the reason why Mashiach doesn't work by karka because it's impossible, or is it because yisoidoi, there's something fundamentally different about Mashiach versus karka. There's nachgeminus. Let's say you have an otos nokov. And you have a flower pot that's attached to the ground. You could pick it up. Right, you could pick it up. You could pick up the flower pot. It's not impossible to pick it up. If I were to pick up a flower pot from the ground, would I be kainit through Meshicha? Let's say you hold a flower pot with a hole that's getting its nutrients from the ground, has a din of karka, which it might. Right? If I want to pick it up, would that give me ownership on it? So that's the big discussion in the Achrenim, is the reason why you can't be pull karka, because how do you pull karka? It's impossible. Or is it because, no, it's not because you can't. It's because the way the kinyanim were set up, they are tailor-made for each type of an activity. And the action of pulling or lifting doesn't fit for something like karka. That's a discussion.
Why can't you say pasha? I'm sorry.
This is why we have to learn the sugyas of kinyanim. Everyone skips
this. Right, why can't you just say pasha? The reason that the mission has to say it is because it just told you that metaltalin is only... So what changes that? The fact that it's kind of with the kesef of al-tzagav, why you still don't need a mashiach on it?
That didn't answer the question.
No. You know, Jess, why does it have to say it again? That's the chiddush. You know, that when you're kind of the metalpilin with it, you see, you don't need a mashiach on that, but you're kind of the same way as
good.
A karka.
Good, that's his teretz. I would have thought that the kasha is that the answer is simple. We don't know what kinyan agav is. You're assuming it follows the same rules as regular acquiring of karka? I don't know. Maybe all bets are off. I have no clue how this works. This is a chiddush gadol. I have no idea how it works. Maybe there's a new kinyan called kinyan agav, and you wave your hand, and you get both. Why are we so assuming that the way it works is you have to follow the regular rules of karka? I have no clue. This is a chiddush, new chiddush type of a halacha. It can have any and any rule possible.
But the way to acquire karka is kesef shtar and
chazaka. Right.
Those are all three forms of kinyan.
Correct.
So how does it work by kesef? How does it work by shtar? Right. I deed this property to you.
Right.
And if I don't, do I have to mention in the shtar the metaltalin?
Like for kinyan agav?
Yeah.
So if it's on
if
top
you're doing
of
kinyan agav when you're doing
so,
the kinyan
so if the star, the if the metaltalin is on the karka, then
different.
No.
That's different.
If it's not, then yes.
Right. So you've specified that, okay? Right. How do you do it with kesef?
The same rules.
You have to verbally say it.
Right.
And then
it goes for $1 and it goes for
yeah,
the other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Gemara comes out later. Again, we didn't even get there yet. The Gemara comes out later that if it's not Siburin, if it's not piled up, you have to say agavukni. You have to speak out at the time that I want to do both.
What about with Shtar?
And then what about with Chazaka?
Same thing. You have to speak out.
Open the gate,
and by opening the gate, I want to get this and that.
You're going to get the telephone
right
over there.
Now, if it's piled up, if, let's say, for example, the thing I want to buy is already sitting on the property, then I don't have to say anything. Now, the obvious question is, what's the Amira doing? What's the role of Amira? There's a whole discussion in Rishayim and what exactly the text is. Do I have to say Agav? Do I have to say Agav Ukni? Can I say Im? Can I say With? We'll have to get to all these things. Wait,
so your question is, if we're coming to tell you Kinyan Agav works, why do I have to repeat the three ways?
Right, because if Kinyan Agav is just buy property and get a metaltalin, so however you buy property, this
well,
is
maybe,
how...
Maybe you need to tell us that Kinyan Agav works for all three, whereas I might have thought mm-hmm. it... In other words,
what would you have thought? Again, if kinyan agav in our mind is buying property and you get something along with
like
it.
Like shtar, I don't consider that to be a kinyan agav. If you're writing it in a shtar, it's not kinyan agav, it's part of the kinyan.
No, that's why. I don't know if you have to
speak it out.
Maybe speak it out.
Writing the star, you're right. If you write in the star, yeah. If you write in the star, yeah, right, right, exactly. Correct. Good point. It'd have to be you speak it out. So you're right. If it would be written in the star, so then it's working in our star. I would have thought that's true too. You're right, 100%. Correct.
Yeah,
good point.
You just said that
but he's saying, but metaltalin is not nikne b'shtar. You can't buy
only by
that's the chiddush kinyaga. Good point. Yeah, this is what happens. You don't get enough sleep. He's 100% right.
You or me.
Both of us. The way shtaris only work for property and for slaves. If I want to sell you movable things, there's only two ways. You can either do mshicha, hagba, or maybe money.
So the kinyan agav doesn't work by shtar.
The chiddush of kinyan agav does work.
That even if you write it in the
shtar. That's why I have to write them all.
Oh, good. Exactly. That's the answer. That's the answer. There. The answer is that...
Of shtar, do they work from a metaltalin? They don't work
at all? No.
They don't work at all?
No. So that's the chiddush.
Right.
Okay, so the reason why I'm setting us up for this is because this is going to lead us into the big chakira of how kinyan agav works. Right? The big chakira of how kinyan agav works is going to be very much dependent on this kasha. Before we get to the lamdasha part, we have to at least see the Gemara. Right, that much we have to do. So the Gemara says the number two, Zakti Gemara, but not immediately. How do we know Kinyan Agav? So before we even get to the answer, if you go through Daf Chavav Amar Aleph, the Gemara goes to all, the Gemara goes to the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah says, how do you know you can buy a field with money? How do you know you can buy a field with shtar? How do you know you can buy a field with chazak? And the Gemara always asks, not Minan Amidi. The Gemara asks, Minolan. Minolan, Minolan, Minolan. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? The Gemara comes to Eretzon, Minan Amidi. How do we know these words? I'm not the biggest Baal Diktuk, but the Achreinim point out, there's a change in the wording. Minolan versus Minan Amidi. What does Minolan mean? Minolan means, I accept the premise, show me where it fits into the Torah. Minolan, how do I know it's true? I know it's true. It makes sense to me that you can buy property with karka, with kesev and shtar. They all make sense to me. But show me where it says in the Torah. And that's the Gemara. Minan Amidi is asking, how do you even know this thing exists? The Gemara is asking a much more fundamental question. Not prove it to me from the Torah, because it doesn't make sense that Kinyanaga is not a logical Kinyan. It doesn't make sense. There's no precedent for it anywhere else. Buying karka is a precedent for it.
Why is it any different than Kimlevi Rabbin?
Why is it any different than Kimlevi Rabbin?
Yeah. No, it's the same
story. I can think of a couple differences.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm curious.
One has to do with Misa and punishments, and one has to do with
Choir. No, but I'm saying it's the same thing. When you do the bigger one, you get the smaller
one.
Yeah,
it's
you forget.
There is. And in each time, right, and each time, I think you have to sit down and figure out how those things work. But over here, yeah, I'm not saying Ikra and Tuffel doesn't apply here also. We'll have to get to it. Tuffel plays a very big role in Kinyan Agav. But just to say on your own that you buy one and you get the other as a package deal. Yeah, that would lack everything that we learned about. Everything we know is kinyon and kinyon and kinyonim. Here you get something without a kinyon. It seems to be very strange. So the Gemara asks Minan Amidi. The problem with this whole Shtekel Torah is there are some people that were ghosts in the Gemara Minolan. Ruins that whole Shtekel Torah. Okay, that's good. But the way we have it is Taka Minan Amidi. But other Rishonim had it Minolan. Omar Chizkid Omar Kra, Pasuk in Navi. And then another Pasuk in Navi. These Pesukim and Navi are nice, but they create problems. Their father gave them gifts. Im ore mitzurois b'Yehuda, with cities in Yehuda. So he gave presents with karka. So somehow from this Pasuk, you're supposed to see that Kinyan Agav. Pretty vague. Pasuk and Navi. That they gave gifts with the cities in Yehuda.
It would be better if it switched around.
Okay, good. Pnei Yeshua's aiming on that question of what's the im. Let's read one more controversial line, and then the Gemara says, Yiboylu. Huh?
It's Drabanan, according to this.
Pashtus, it's a Pasuk in Navi. It's a Pasuk. Oh, good. We'll get to that in a second. If it's a Pasuk in Navi, it can't be Dereisa. So that takes us back to our sugya. One second. Rashi learned that the way she was kind of the get was through Kinyan Agav. She owned the get only Midrabanan. So you tell me she was divorced only on a Midrabanan level? Now it makes Rashi even more shver. Why would Rashi pick a Kinyan Drabanan instead of a Kinyan Dereisa? So that's the Ktzais. The Ktzais says, you see from Rashi, that Rashi held Kinyan Agav is Dereis. But again, very nice. But yeah, you could say a lot of things, but how does it work? How does it fit into the... Yeah, exactly. How do you know? Let's read one more line, and then we'll have to stop. Iboiluhu, be'inan sibur m'iloi. Kledigmar, one more shayla. Do you need to have the metatlan piled up on the karaka in order for Kinyan Agav to work, or we don't need that? Can I be kaina in the Gemara? What?
It's not
no, it could be. If it's not piled up, is that sufficient? Or, what do you mean? If it's piled up...
It's Kinyan
Chatzar. Ah, very good. So the Rishonim all ask, what are you talking about? What type of Havamin is this? If I need every Kinyan Agav, means the karka sitting on the metatlon. It's metatlon sitting on the karka. So then who needs Kinyan Agav? That's Kinyan Chatzar. That's good old-fashioned Kinyan Chatzar.
No, but that's only even there before. That's only there.
Okay. Very good. Okay. And Mr. Shem, next week we'll talk about the answer to this kasha. Okay, Mr. Shem, next week we'll talk more about Kinyan Agav.